I'm Michael Hall.
And I'm Andy Davis.
And we want to welcome you to The D'Advantage, the D&D podcast where two old school dudes talk about new school play. Hey, I got dad, it right. I got it right.
And then we throw in a dad joke at the end.
It's a dad
that's
joke.
That's our whole shtick. Okay. That's right.
Yes. Awesome. I didn't forget.
Good job. Guys, we've done, this is our 51st episode.
50th episode. This is actually 2 years exactly. Because we had a delay in between the first episode and the second episode. And then we had one repeat holiday.
Only one repeat in 2 years, guys. I think that's pretty good. Yeah. But this is our 50th episode, 25,000 downloads. Thank you, everyone. Yeah. I think we're going to have some news a little later in the year about trying to work on building up our community. Maybe sort of rolling out a Discord and a Patreon. We got to kind of finalize our plans for that, but it's all pretty exciting stuff.
I know. I'm psyched. 2024
got some good year. 2024, big year for the D'Advantage.
It's sticking around, you know. The other thing is that we hit almost a whole week in the top 50 recently on Apple Podcast Games. So that was cool. That's it's just nice to feel like people are listening, and I guess you are. So thank you.
First things first, thank you everyone who is listening and continues to listen to the podcast. You know, we love hearing from you. We love hearing about all the feedback. It's awesome.
Andy, we've got as a reward for our 50 episodes, we're going to go back to our roots. We did one of these already this year, already in the last couple of months, but I love these episodes. So what are we doing?
Fun. We're going to do a character face-off.
Nice.
All our listeners, regular listeners might know, we pick a trope, like a TV trope or just like a character trope that you see in fiction pretty regularly, and then give our take on it. So that could be the anti-hero is one we've done in the past. The infiltrator, we've apparently done quite a lot.
We did the assassin and the infiltrator.
We've done a bunch of those. But this particular one, we're going to do the protector. So this is when you think about that, think about Whitney Houston and
the bodyguard.
Think about the bodyguard. Think about that's what it is. It's like the person who is driven to protect another. It could be like a Man on Fire with Denzel Washington is another great one, where you have an anti-hero who is redeeming themselves by protecting someone. There's a lot of different varieties of what the protector might look like, but that's kind of what
What's like the Liam Neeson series?
Taken. Another great example of someone who is a protector. Yeah. And it's kind of a motivation thing as much as anything, but that's what a lot of these guys are, but it's also a role. It's a thing that they do. It could just as easily be,
I like about this one is it's very open in terms of how we might approach it.
Right.
What we do is we pick this trope, and then Andy and I go to head-to-head. We build a character and then face off against each other.
Yes, and we try to decide who did it better.
Yes.
Who did it best. Yeah. But there are no losers in of face-off.
So the first thing we always do when we start these things is we
roll some initiative. Oh, right. That's right. Okay, so I got my dice out. Midland.
17.
Eight. I know. I think you're going to be going first, Michael.
I think I am going to be going first. Well, what's cool about this is we build to level 8. We use a custom array of 17, 15, 13, 12, 10, 8. And then we just sort of build our characters and go head to head. The first round is flavor. So we try to just sort of wow each other with
give a little introduction.
Yeah. Yep. And frequently these start in Andy and I's both play in our conjoined homebrew. The Shattered Chasm, Andy invented it, and I've been piggybacking on it for a while. And more importantly, in a tavern called the
Thirsty Cougar. Cougar,
which is our go-to tavern.
Our go-to tavern has a lot of lowlives. Think of your classic dive bar. It's in the City of Bounty. And it's got the worst of the worst hanging out there most of the time.
Andy, there's a new, did you know that there's a new manager at the Thirsty Cougar?
No, I had no idea.
Yeah.
No.
He's redecorated a little bit and put up a lot of Hunt's Room kind of things on the wall. So like there's, a lion's head on the wall. There's like probably, I don't know, some other creatures, maybe
there's
an owlbear. There's like all sorts
of jackalope head, like all kinds of stuff.
And one of the guys who worked there came in this morning to the Thirsty Cougar, and he was cleaning up, and he was like, "God damn it!" And he got really annoyed because apparently the new manager had brought in a giant tortoise shell and left it just in the middle of the room. And so the new guy, he's like, well, he sweeps around it, can't even know. It's really heavy. And then finally he just sits down on top of it. And then all of a sudden, "Oi, get off of me." And stretching out of the tortoise shell, a couple of limbs, two legs, two arms, and then throwing the guy off, up stands a very burly looking turtle wearing sort of breeches and not much in the way of shirt, but you know, who needs a shirt when you're a tortoise, right? And wearing some arm guards and then he picks up a war pick and he's carrying a shield as well. So he's a fairly armored turtle. Then he goes, "Yeah, well, give me a drink, kid." And the kid rushes off the other day. You've just met Titus Tepperton, protector of the Outer Wastes. And he actually doesn't even know how old he is. He's so freaking old that
he's like a Galapagos tortoise kind of.
Yeah, he's just a big desert tortoise vibe. He is a protector of the desert, a protector of the uncharted lands. And he's ended up in Bounty because something's threatening the wastelands, and he is bound by the power of his ancients to protect the land.
Nice. I like that.
Titus,
especially in the context of the Shattered Chasm, which is this, that it is this beautiful land that was previously beautiful but has been destroyed, so that it would have now a protector of some sort is great. That's awesome. So Titus Tepperton, huh?
Tepperton. So
he's a big burly. He's a big burly dude.
He is a barbarian path of the ancestral guardians.
Okay.
And he calls upon his tortoise ancestors and the power of his tortoise ancestors to protect the land.
I like it.
He rages. He's a turtle rager.
You never really think of turtles being like having like anger issues, but I can see it.
Yeah.
So this is a different, I would say, like late afternoon. We are in your point of view is sitting at the back table of the Thirsty Cougar, and you can see at the bar there's a whole bunch of ne'er-do-wells and adventurers. One of them is quite a large tabaxi. You know, he's carrying a halberd, and you know, most tabaxis are thin, but this one in particular is pretty strong, ropey. And you see him, he's got this big halberd, he's got a lot of stuff, and you see his ears kind of perk up and rotate around, and then he sort of looks around a little wildly and mutters to the bartender. You can't quite hear what he has to say, but he scoops up all his belongings and he hustles out the back door quick as he can. And just as he disappears out the back door, coming through the two swinging doors in the front, is another tabaxi. This tabaxi is a little older. She's about 3.5 feet tall. She's wearing skirts, some sort of flowing skirts with some leggings underneath, bare feet. She's carrying a quarterstaff. She's got a vest. Everything that she owns has been embroidered with flowers and other kinds of things. And she steps through the door and you see her sort of moving from person to person, and she eventually comes to you at the table and she goes, "Excuse me, sir. Excuse me. My name is Pins and Needles, and I'm looking for my son. He's going to be a doctor. His name is Stitches, but I've just lost track of him a bit, and I'm really trying to track him down and make sure that he's doing all right and that he's on track with his studies. Have you seen him anywhere?" And you point out the door. She goes, "Oh my goodness. He was here? Oh, thank you so much for your help." And you see her and she's hustled out. And you have just met Pins and Needles. She's 3.5 foot tall, small tabaxi, orange colored, orange and white kind of tabaxi. I can get into her details.
Yeah, once you go, you double up in the details, and I'll come
so,
up to her.
So
round two, details.
Round two, the details.
The build.
Pins and Needles is a Circle of the Moon druid.
Nice.
Her preferred wild shape is into a full-grown tiger, which in her case it really just looks like her hair stands on end and she literally becomes a tiger mom. And her real quest is trying to keep track and help her son stay on track with becoming a doctor. His name is Stitches the Flesh, but his passion is really adventuring. So she is her story is to either get Stitches back on track to becoming a doctor or reconciling herself with the fact that her son wants to be something else. But she is a Circle of the Moon druid. She's, and in that sense, you know, she's, her strength is her dump stat, but she doesn't really need it. Same thing with Dex. You know, she's going to get into a fight. She's going to be basically becoming a tiger, but very good con, pretty good intelligence. She's got a 16 constitution, 12 intelligence, a 20 wisdom, and a 13 charisma. And yeah, so she, as a tabaxi, she gets a few different things. She's got, like I said, she's got her quarterstaff. She's using, she's got Thorn Whip as a spell, although for her, it's Yarn Whip. She has a big purse covered with all of her. This will be a callback to our previous episode. That's where the inspiration came from. But she's got Yarn Whip, you know, so it's, think a crafting themed druid as much as anything. But yeah, Cat's Claws, she's got two wild shapes. She can cast Shillelagh, and then she also has Feline Agility, which lets her double her move speed. Mm. I also spec'd out her son, by the way, as a, as like a fourth level totem barbarian, or the or Path of the Beast. It's one of the ones that gives him tiger as well. Yeah, and then so she's got all the spells that you would normally expect. Moonbeam, but I think Moonbeam, she's, is the mother's eye. You know, it's watching you. It's just sort of tracking you wherever you go, critically. Yeah, and so
did,
yeah,
you call, did you call your mother,
did you, have you called your mother?
Sending some.
yeah it's a lot, you know. It's, but, and I think, you know, generally speaking, her demeanor is very motherly until she, the people that she is in charge of are threatened, and then she really fully goes into the she's there to defend her kids.
Nice, I love it. That's just a really great visual image. I thought a lot about a druid, especially since I was going with a protector of the land. But
yeah.
I just like the idea of a barbarian turtle.
I think barbarian turtle is pretty funny. Very funny.
Right on. Well, I'll sort of launch into, so Titus, he's not incredibly tall. He's under 5 feet, but just really burly.
Right.
And of course, he's got his massive shell on the back. He's, as you mentioned, sort of think those giant tortoises of the Galapagos, or a mixture of a desert tortoise and a giant tortoise. He's statted out like you might expect a barbarian. I leaned really into constitution. He's got the 20 constitution, a 16 strength, and a 14 dex, although he doesn't really need the dex. I mostly just did it for sort of flavor purposes. He's got an intelligence of 10, a wisdom of 12, and a charisma of 8. He's not particularly charismatic. Right. But as a barbarian at 8th level, he's got 40 feet of speed, which makes him shockingly mobile. And then I think he's dexterous, right? So I think that's kind of like how I see it, is like he's a little bit of a surprise in a tortoise shell. His tortoise body, his carapace, gives him a 17 base armor class. So with the shield, he's already up to a 19. Didn't even have to do much to get there. Probably a waste of the unarmored defense for a barbarian, but there you have it.
Right.
What's really sort of interesting, I didn't do a lot with him in terms of, I just gave him an ability score increase and tough as his feet. So he's up to 117 hit points. So he's pretty burly. And pretty beefy and can take a lot, which, again, is what you would expect. What's cool is what I really love about the ancestral guardian barbarian is there's two things that are just,
it's very strong.
Cool. I'm going to keep one of them back for our flavor side. But he has ancestral protectors. And while raging, the first creature you hit the first creature you hit with an attack on your turn has disadvantage on any attack that isn't against you. And when the target hits a creature other than you, that creature has resistance to the damage dealt by the attack. So, I mean, that's like just the ultimate protector. It's like, it is protector, right?
Yeah.
So I feel like that's just his big thing. And I imagine that his ancestral protector sort of are other, you know, like his past selves, right? So I think it's
His ancestors, his
ancestors.
There.
So it's just these sort of phantom portals, barbarians that sort of take on different, you know, countenances and float around him and protect the people he's with.
I feel like you just saw the end of Echo.
No, I didn't.
Oh, you didn't? No, okay.
Oh my God! Wow, shoot! I should have. That would be awesome, right?
Yeah.
I didn't.
That's funny.
So there you go. That's awesome. I'm morphing with the zeitgeist of the world, right?
Yep.
But that's his big thing, right?
Right.
Barbarians, if you don't know, barbarians are, they really work around rage. He's got 4 uses of rage. It gives him advantage on strength checks and saving throws, +2 melee damage with strength weapons, and he has to keep raging.
That's sort of
the deal.
Yeah.
So I think that's the big thing. It's just he's in there in the midst of things, taking up, soaking up tons of damage, and making sure that the action focuses on him.
Right. Right.
I debated giving him mobile. But I really wanted that 20 com, but I thought it would be pretty funny to give him mobile, because then he'd have 50 feet of movement. And it would be just a shock, right? Like
the speedy the monk turtle is kind of a classic.
Right.
I've seen a couple of those builds and they're pretty funny. Yeah. Yeah, the inherent armored advantage that being a turtle gives you, especially as a monk, becomes like kind of nuts. Right. Same thing with the barbarian, right?
Yeah.
That's cool. I really like Mr. Tepperton, Titus Tepperton. Titus Tepperton. I like him. I think, you know, he is a very clearly a good protector. Are we in like the third round?
I think, are there any other sort of mechanics that you want to just get off your chest? That you've got?
I think I didn't mention it, but the two feats that I took, because I felt like they were appropriate for the sort of tiger mom thing that I was going for, is I took alert. Right?
Oh yeah, perfect.
You know, so they have +5 bonus to initiative. They can't be surprised.
Yeah.
Creatures don't get advantage on attack rolls from being unseen. I felt like that the idea of the mom who's like constantly like on the lookout. And I also took observant, because I felt like it's the same sort of thing, that those were two things. And so which actually end up working really well. I end up in like a place where I've got like a 23 passive perception.
Ooh.
Got a very I've got my passive investigation is like a 19. My passive insight is like an 18, like all of which I think are great in the sense of this overprotective mom. It's like really trying to make sure that they're fun. Yeah, it would just be pretty hilarious. So
it'd be great if you could get someone else to play the son character.
Yes, it would be together. It would be like top tier. Yeah.
Because then, you know, like maybe you said barbarian. You said he was going to be a barbarian. That's pretty
good. Yeah.
I was thinking he was like a rogue too. Like
I built him as a fourth level. No, he's a third level tabaxi barbarian. And he is, what is his? He's Path of the Totem Warrior. And he has the tiger totem, which just gives him like extra jump speed, which is already like his mobility is bonkers even at third level.
Right. Yeah.
But with the tabaxi stuff makes things pretty broken.
Well, cats are fast.
Yeah, cats are fast. And then like speaking, and if we get into like speaking of broken, so, you know, I've got a 16 con, which puts my AC is not great, right? I'm wearing leather armor, but I have a +5 on initiative. I've got 67 hit points that's baseline.
Easy. Yeah, that's
easy. And then if I can take the tiger, which I believe it's the tiger or the saber-tooth tiger, they both have like another 37 hit points.
Yeah.
So I have I have about 100 and if it's just the tiger, I still have close to 130 hit points before I'm out, right? You know, which is one of the things that like the Circle of the Moon Druid is really all about, wild shape. So she actually ends up being a pretty, any eighth level Moon Druid is going to be pretty powerful, but it's
when we did the tank episode, we did talk about how there's a legitimate build as a tank, right? Druids, because of wild shape, make a very legitimate tank for the team, because they can soak up so much damage with their wild shape. That's great. That's really
good. Yeah, you know, and then I still have like, I'm pretty sure that even if I was like in wild shape, I can still take advantage of some of the mobility stuff that the feline agility lets you. I basically get to double my move at the end. I can double my move speed, so I can go up to 60 feet. The tiger has like, I think 40 feet of movement. So it becomes like, if I'm in tiger shape, I can move 80 feet as long as I don't move the next turn. Right.
Yeah, neat.
So it becomes like pretty terrifying, honestly. So,
you know, I think the one thing you have to say about Moon Druid in particular is there's a lot of information out there about what are the best wild shape forms to take. And you can go and research that. But I think that takes a lot of the fun.
For sure.
One of those classes where if you go, you can min max it, but if you only min max it, it takes 100% of the fun out of it. It's like, I'm only going to be a dire wolf until I can be a blank, and then I'm only going to be those things because they're the best things.
Yeah.
And it just takes a lot of the fun out of imagination out of it.
Yeah. And I think for me, we've talked about this, like it's okay to make suboptimal choices, particularly if they line up thematically.
Yeah.
And just the tiger is a CR1 creature, right? You know, it's doing, it's got a decent bite attack. It's got a decent hit. But if like, if Pins and Needles decides to be like, oh, I'm going to put up heat, I'm going to cast heat metal on somebody and then wild shape, like that person's going to just, they're burning someone basically to the ground while they're running around as a tiger, very hard to hit, very mobile. Like, I mean, it's same thing with a moonbeam. Like that's the thing with the moon druid is you put one of those spells up and then you go, you know?
And you, yeah, you can do Sabertooth Tiger. That's a CR2 and at eighth level. The great thing is at ninth level, you jump up to CR3 and then you could be like a spotted lion. You could be a spotted lion, but you could still...
Yeah, flavor it as flavor just it. An ever stronger tigers.
Yeah. That's pretty cool.
So that, yeah. So I think that it's just kind of a fun. Yeah. That's so that's kind of the pitch on.
I love it. It's really super cool. It's just so much fun. Well, look, a turtle barbarian, if that hasn't sold you already, I'm really not sure what else will. But this is a completely useless feature, but I kind of just love the idea of it. And I'd love to figure out how to make it, pull it off and make it worthwhile. But turtles can do withdraw. So they can withdraw into their shell as a bonus action, I believe. And you have a +4 bonus to your AC and advantage on strength and con saving throws. However, you're prone, your speed is 0, and you have disadvantage on deck saving throws. Here's, and you can't take, you can only take an action to emerge, basically a bonus action to emerge.
Here's how I would pitch the, I think when, not so much in the center of the thirsty cougar, but it's a, we've all seen desert tortoises. They're kind of like, we've all seen that they're, I think that when Titus like withdraws, Titus like figures out where the bad guys are going to be, you know, he's amongst the herd of the creatures that he wants to think. And he just withdraws into his shell and kind of blends into the,
that's kind of what blends I was
into
thinking.
The,
I was
blends thinking, into the background.
What's that strange come in rock and start, over there?
Yeah. Right? They come up and they're like, so I can absolutely see a scene where, you know, there's some bandit standing on top of this rock, which suddenly starts to move and a hand reaches up and goes, you know,
it would require my DM to help me get into situations where I could take advantage of it. I would probably ask for at least one or two moments where it would make sense and I would work my way into it. Again, it's just silly and it's stupid and it's completely useless mechanically, but I love it nonetheless.
Nice.
In the spirit of that, well, spirit's funny, I say spirit, I have a spirit shield. So maybe one of my ancestors, or maybe I sort of take a spectral shell off my back and throw it. And what the spirit shield does is while I'm raging and another creature that is within 30 feet of me takes damage, I can use my reaction to reduce that damage by 2d6.
Yeah.
Like my reaction.
I know.
Right? Like, pretty good. Like that's infinite numbers of these things. I could do it every turn if I wanted to. I would lose the opportunity attack, but just flavor-wise, I'm a protector. I might choose to do it every single time somebody within 30 feet of me takes damage.
I think that's the thing, is it really is like what I'll totally grant you. I think that mechanically, Titus.
You say that a lot. You say mechanically.
No. I gotta protect, I gotta qualify it so that I can make my pitch for why I win in the end.
Yes, of course, I understand. Yeah.
But I mean, I think Titus is a better straight up protector.
For sure.
Especially of a party.
Well, I don't know. They're about the same. Like, I think this is actually pretty even, because the moon druid's really, really powerful.
Oh yeah. Yeah. But I think like, the game.
The protection mechanics, right?
The protection mechanics.
You have things that do it.
Yeah. You have things that reduce damage. You have things that you're helping focus your allies and things, you know, Pins and Needles is helping allies by just being a stronger presence on the battlefield, right? Yeah. You know, that they're either going to draw fire or they are going to be able to be very effective in eliminating. They have a lot of options in terms of like how they deploy their energy on the battlefield to make some changes.
I think I might play Titus. Maybe that voice wasn't quite the right voice. I might play him a little bit more like, maybe he talks like this. And then he's like, he's just a little, you know, weird. You know, he smokes a lot, you know.
He spent too much time in the desert doing shrooms.
That special cactus juice. You know, maybe
it's Titus, just the mescaline, the peyote.
Yeah, the peyote, he's always trying to push off the peyote. People, You know, you got to get in tune with the nature, man.
Here, have a button. Take this button.
Here, take the button, yeah.
That's funny.
I might just make him a little bit more goofy. So even though he's a protector, he's just really weird. Although I don't know if I could keep that voice up for hours on end.
Yeah, that would be
If I could, it would be amazing.
That's why I was like, oh, I'll just be very soft-spoken and try to like make it. Yeah.
And try to pick these super flavorful voices and then I can't talk for a week.
Oh, I know. Yeah. Pro tip. Yeah, you got to practice the voices when you're one. Decide you want to do voices. Yeah. So, okay. So where do we, I think, where do we land? What do we think?
You know, this is kind of neutral to me. I mean, like we both took different routes and these are such different, they're both protectors. I love the tiger mom idea. The only negative for me is that she's very focused on a very singular, very specific person. Although, you know, you could play her as motherly to anybody. I think,
yeah. I mean, I think in my mind, you know, you were saying like, oh, it'd be fun to have the kid and there. I actually think it's more fun to have the kid always like in front of them.
Oh, be
like, it's always ahead of them. So it's always always ahead of him. That is always like, she's always like, you know,
looking for him.
But she's always looking for him. She's like, literally, like, this would be, you know, in the context of her story, this would probably be like the first time she's seen Stitches in like 2 years, right? You know, like, she's gotten this close in like 2 years. That she's just always like, you know, so she ends up in a party being kind of like the den mom and kind of the tiger mom to the whole party. But also like trying to get them to do their, you know, you need to excel. You need to, like, she just starts takes on the people of the party, even if they're like fully adults and even older.
I'm buying it, man. I still think we're pretty neutral in terms of who won, but I like your flavor as usual. You've brought a unique twist to it. I think I went a little bit more straight down the middle in terms of protector. There's not, other than the turtle gag. I felt like the turtle gag worked for Ancestral Guardians. I'll give it to you just on a nudge on the whole tiger mom thing and the fact that you incorporated the thorn whip
from the previous episode, the yarn whip.
You've given it to me on the name alone. I might give it to you on the name alone. Pins and Needles is it's such an appropriate Tabaxi name. Every Tabaxi should have a weird sort of very kitty catty name.
I was trying to figure out the name and then I was like, oh, Pins and Needles is pretty good because it feels crafty and it's also kind of, you're on pins and needles. Yeah. Like,
you got claws and your needle, exactly. You know, it's all good. She probably knits without needles. She probably knits with just her claws.
I think her arcane focus, like you have to have an arcane focus.
Yeah, right.
Is actually, it's a knitting needle, but it's actually a knitting needle. It's like one of her, she's just got a very big knitting needle. It's I think that's like when she fails stealth rolls, it's literally because it's like,
oh my God.
You know, it's like,
that's ridiculous.
You know, pass without trace. She just hands out mittens to mittens and booties to everybody to like walk in the mittens and booties.
You look cold, dear.
You look There's a lot of stuff like that where she's just constantly making scarves. She's constantly making hats for everybody.
That's right. These two in a
cats for humanoid
together,
still have big.
He'd be like, he'd be trying to slip peyote into her tea, and she'd be like knitting him. And he's like, I'm already really warm.
I've got a shell. It's really warm.
And she's like, no,
what can I give? I need to make him a gift. What can? Maybe hot mitts.
I like a knit hat. My head gets kind of cold.
There is a cartoon character that's a turtle. It has like a scarf. I can't remember the name of it though.
Oh yeah, oh. Right. Oh, I don't know either. Well, do you want to? I mean, I think we just named you the winner.
Awesome. I'll take it. Thank you very much, everyone. I accept all my accolades for winning in with great grace.
All right. Well, with that, Andy, why don't you let the fine people who are listening know our socials.
Yeah. So you can find us if you want to find all the things, including a place to, you can buy some t-shirts and some other things. We're at linktr.ee/thedadvantage. And we're active on Threads, we're active on Instagram, and we're active on Facebook. We have a presence on TikTok, but we're still figuring that out, whether or not people want to see our beautiful faces or not. Nice. Maybe we should just do audio only telling dad jokes on there and leave it at that.
You know, not a bad way to go. I've been thinking about it. I'm not afraid of being in face either. I just hadn't quite, but maybe you're right. Maybe dad jokes is the way to go. We certainly have a lot of them.
Yes.
All right. Well, and as always, you know, like and follow, like and give us a review on Apple Podcasts. It's the most important thing you can do for people to find us. And we've got, as Andy said, we've got a lot of big stuff coming up. Andy's going to be at some cons coming up.
Yeah, that's right. If you happen to be in the Bay Area, I'll be at DungerCon in mid-February. So we have an episode or two before that shows up. And possibly I may try to convince Michael if his time shows up to at least be there for a day just to check it out and check out the con scene.
Yeah.
That's down in Santa Clara. And then I have a few coming up later in the year. I'll be out in Boston for PAX East and KublaCon for sure.
Yeah, we might
still be trying to get accepted into Gen Con.
Nice. I wish you the best of luck. We also might appear on some other people's podcasts. I've been invited to play on some, so we might go play and might
be able to maybe Pins and Needles will make an appearance. I think Pins and Needles would be great. One shot.
I've got a couple of ideas. I bet, you know, maybe a turtle.
One shot. I could probably do it for an hour or four. It would be really good.
But then I wouldn't be able to talk for a day or two, so I'd have to figure that out. Well, so that's what's going on in our world. Andy's also got a Kickstarter coming up soon.
I mean, it'll be probably launched by the time this episode rolls out. Right on. But it'll be in, So
go buy some donuts.
We'll post stuff in the socials about when it's actually live.
Great.
I have a question. So we were talking about barbarians. I have a barbarian in my party, and they were telling me that they didn't understand the spell simulacrum.
Oh,
and I told her that makes two of us.
But I'm bummed. Who's on first? That's like a who's on first one.
That's right.
That's great. I love it. That makes two of us. We both love it.
Yeah, we both love it. Hello.
Excellent. Oh, that's a good way to start the new year with a good dad joke. I love it.
That's right.
Well, thank you, everybody. We really appreciate your listening, and hopefully we'll see you in some of our one of Andy's cons, or in one of our socials, or maybe when we launch something big, you'll participate. We'd love it.
Thanks very much, everybody.
All right.